Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, Text 27, Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. Oh, that's right, 26. Yadarpitam tat vikalpe Indriyaya paridhavati Rajasvalam cha samnishtam Chitam vidhi viparyayam Yadarpitam tat vikalpe Indriyaya paridhavati Rajasvalam cha sannishtam Chitam vidhi viparyayam Yadarpitam tat vikalpe Indriyaya paridhavati Rajasvalam cha sannishtam Chitam vidhi viparyayam Yat, when, arpitam, fixed, tat, this, consciousness, vikalpe, a material variety, the body, home, family, etc., indriyai, with the senses, pridavati, chasing all around, Rajavalam, strengthened by the mode of passion. Cha, also, asat. Anybody knows? That which is not permanent. Oh, sorry, to that which has no permanent reality. Nishtam, dedicated. Chitam, consciousness. Vidhi, you should understand. Viparyayam, the opposite of what was previously mentioned. Translation and purport: the followers of Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When consciousness is fixed on the material body, home, and other similar objects of sense gratification, one spends one's life chasing after material objects with the help of the senses. Consciousness, thus powerfully affected by the mode of passion, becomes dedicated to impermanent things, and in this way, irreligion, ignorance, attachment, and wretchedness arise. Purport: in the previous verse, Lord Krishna explained the auspicious result of fixing the mind in him. And now the opposite is explained. Rajasvalam indicates that one's passion grows so strong that one commits sinful activities and reaps all types of misfortune. Although materialistic people are blind to the impeding wretchedness, one can confirm by all types of evidence, namely Vedic injunctions, direct observation, traditional wisdom, and inductive logic, that the result of violating the laws of God is disastrous. Translation again. When consciousness is fixed on the material body, home, and other similar objects of sense gratification, one spends one's life chasing after material objects with the help of the senses. Consciousness, thus powerfully affected by the mode of passion, becomes dedicated to impermanent things, and in this way, irreligion, ignorance, attachment, and wretchedness arise. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Sharakya Shakshu Mitham Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vinaha Mukham Kuroti Vachram Pangam Lagayati Guru Yamiya Kripa Tanghan Vende Shri Guru Mdina Taranam Zai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shri Vasari Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So it's interesting, this verse is, as said in the purport, the opposite of the previous verse. Does anybody remember something from the previous verse? When one's peaceful consciousness, strengthened by the mode of goodness, is fixed on the personality of Godhead, one achieves religiosity, knowledge, detachment, and opulence. So he has said, when one's peaceful consciousness, he has said, when in the verse we're just dealing with now, when consciousness is fixed on material body, home, and other similar objects of sense gratification. So I suppose that doesn't mean that it's peaceful anymore. So, the next one is strengthened by the mode of goodness. And here it said, well, after chasing down the material objects with the help of the senses, consciousness is thus powerfully affected by the mode of passion. The next part is that it is fixed. When it's strengthened by the mode of goodness, it is fixed on the personality of Godhead. In this verse we're dealing with now, it's that one becomes dedicated to impermanent things. In this, the previous verse is saying, so when one is strengthened by goodness, and the consciousness is peaceful and is fixed on the Lord, then one achieves religiosity, knowledge, detachment, and opulence. So the result of fixing our consciousness on the material body and whatever is in relationship with the material body and chases after it, becomes affected by the mode of passion and dedicates oneself to impermanent things. And this way, instead of achieving knowledge, religiosity, detachment, and opulence, one achieves irreligion, ignorance, attachment, and wretchedness. It's quite clear. So yeah, it's a very interesting verse. It's like you can really see the difference of how we use our consciousness. So when we follow that verse, which is mentioned here, and we, as a result of fixing our mind on impermanent things, chasing down the objects of the senses with the help of the senses, and thus becomes powerfully affected by the mode of passion, and then, as a result, we have irreligion, ignorance, attachment, wretchedness. So, all these activities which are born out of death, a result, or they bring us to violating the laws of God. And as explained in the very last part of the purport, is that violating the laws of God is disastrous. So thinking about that, because we are in a society, or we are in a world now, where these disasters are becoming more and more apparent. I don't know if anybody's been out yesterday between 7 and 9 o'clock, but it was very interesting, because I was driving back from the city on my bike, and when we were in Harimam yesterday, we could see there were like massive clouds building up in the sky. It was like huge black clouds. Remember, I was mentioning Samohini was this real charm color on the clouds. It was really, really strong clouds. And then when I was biking home, there started lightning all over the sky. Like, I've never seen anything like that, like flashing constantly, like not like between 5 and 10 seconds apart from each one was this flashing. I first didn't understand that it was lightning because it happened so frequently. But there was hardly any rain falling, and there was no thunder either. But the whole sky was filled with lightning. Apparently it could have had to do with the volcanic eruption there in Ireland, in the Iceland. So apparently that is another disaster which has been happening. The Marita-san was speaking yesterday about a couple of disasters. He was mentioning the airplane crash, which was killing like a whole lot of Poland's political leaders. So we're coming to a time where our life, or like life itself, becomes more and more disastrous. And people actually don't have any idea why it is so. Like we hear so many times people saying, why is that happening? Why are bad things happening to good people? You know, why has this beautiful, young, innocent girl been so brutally killed? You know, why was there the tsunami which wiped out in a second 200,000 people like that? So people are wondering, and Devarita San was talking about the tsunami when it just happened. He was saying how there was this farmer, and the farmer was standing in his field, which was devastated after the tsunami, and he was throwing his fist towards the heavens, and was basically saying, like, you know, God, no, if you're there, we hate you. So people, actually, because there's so much ignorance, because they don't know what actually they're doing themselves, they start blaming God. And everyone actually is quite content about themselves and about their sense gratification. You know, apparently 80% of Americans think that they're very good people and they're going to go to heaven after death. So everyone is actually thinking they're pretty good. You know, if you ask somebody, like, you know, like sometimes when I've been doing book distribution, I ask people, like, you know, we're talking about karma, and I say, oh, are you a good boy, or are you a good girl? And they always say, yeah, you know, like, and they kind of smile and say, like, you know, I'm a bit naughty or something like that. But this is, you know, how far it goes with people's consciousness about what actually they're putting out in this world. So we think, actually, you know, since Christians even say it, like, you know, they say we are actually created to enjoy. You know, we've got these senses to enjoy with them. And as long as we don't really badly hurt somebody, that's all right. You know, we don't kill anybody. We're not like really bad, you know. Sometimes we might say a lie or try to manipulate somebody, but that's all not too bad. So, and if there's a God, actually, you know, God should be smart enough to just leave us up to our own business. Isn't it? Like, you know, God should mind his own business as just being God and, you know, catering for our sense gratification. You know, making all things nice and good in the world that we can, you know, indulge in our sense gratification. But the enjoyment is for us. You know? But this is why we're here. We should enjoy, and God should just, you know, don't poke us in those too deep in our business. So, and otherwise, if you don't have that conception about, you know, what God's business actually is, and that we are here to enjoy our materialistic life, then we can just also say that there is no God anyway, and that everything is, you know, material energy, and since we have a material body and one life is all we get, we might just have a good time here on earth till we die. So little do people know these days, and there's no understanding why all these horrible things happen which impede our sense gratification. I was just mentioning 200,000 people wiped out to the tsunami. There's so much mental diseases these days. You know, people think, like, no, are we enjoying so nicely, you know, having illicit sex, taking drugs, you know, doing whatever we want to do. And, like, why are there mental diseases, you know? How bad is that? So mental diseases outnumbered physical diseases these days. Because people are so unregulated, they're so unclean externally and internally. You know, families are totally disrupted because there's no culture and nothing anymore which holds it together. So people just get mentally ill. What to speak of, you know, we know that there's the soul which is attracted to the womb is, you know, attracted by the specific consciousness of the parents during conception. So we can just imagine what kind of state of mind and consciousness you have if your parents are totally intoxicated when they conceive you. I mean, do you expect there's going to be a sane child coming out of it? So nobody looks, like, you know, when it goes a bit further, like, you know, like, they blame God, they blame the government or society, even, you know, like, you know, social system is so bad, you know, that's why we suffer, we suppress, and this and that, the other. But nobody actually looks at themselves. Like, I didn't even think about it, you know, like, nobody actually takes responsibility and thinks, maybe it's me who's responsible for my suffering. Has anybody thought that? That they are maybe themselves responsible for their suffering in this life? Maybe an Indian tradition is a bit more, you know, people have a bit more knowledge still. And otherwise, no way, you would never even think about it. And certainly you're not going to think that you are responsible for your own suffering and that you actually deserve it. It's not going to cross your mind in Western society. But we have responsibility. Like, every action we do will give us a certain result. The very body we've obtained in our life is a result of our previous activities and our desires. The diseases we're going to suffer, our whole astrology is composed of what we're getting from our previous life, our lives. So, it's interesting, I just looked up in the internet a couple of numbers, because there's a quote from, for example, Tolstoy? Yeah, from Tolstoy. And he was saying, like, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be slaughter fields. So he had some kind of awareness of karmic reactions. So I just looked up, and it's quite an interesting number, 856 million cows are slaughtered every 8 months. How many million do we have in Australia? We have 20 million people here. 856 million slaughtered every 8 months. Then we had, for example, just in 1990, we had 1,400,000 legal abortions just in the USA. 1 year. Just in one, you know, like just in the USA. 1,400,000, and they're legal. Who knows what else has been happening in the CIA, you know? And then people wonder, like, you know, why were there 60 million people killed in the World War II? What a surprise. And these are just like, you know, this is just about killing. And, you know, what's about intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and, like, more subtle things like lying, stealing, envy. And this is all we're putting out. And there was a movie quite some years ago, it was called What the Bleep Do We Know? And it was dealing with metaphysics. And they were having an interesting research in there, which was based on previous experiments in the same direction. And there was how they were having, I try to get the numbers back together, I think there was like something like 400 people who was meditating over like around 6 weeks, like having like 4 hours meditation, and that was in Washington D.C., which is like the murderer capital. So they expected out of like previous researches they've done, they expected a decrease of violent crime from around 25%, and it actually happened. So the collective consciousness people have been given out was affecting them, their reality. Just people meditating, what to speak about, you know, devotees going out and hiring out. So people don't even know how much they owe us devotees, you know. So we can see, like, as the Purport was saying, although materialistic people are blind to the impeding wretchedness, one can confirm by all types of evidence, namely Vedic injunctions, direct observation, traditional wisdom, and inductive logic, that the results of violating the laws of God are disastrous. So when we violate God's laws, then we will get all these results. And it's interesting because we're speaking even about inductive logic. Just if you just look at the item illicit sex, what can we, you know, what's happening for it? It's not just abortions. It's like, you know, so many diseases. We have HIV, SPI, they call it SPI. Like all kind of contagious diseases are coming from it. So much. I wouldn't even know the list. You know, like there's like cervical cancer, like a huge list of like coming out. Then it totally disturbs, you know, families, like, you know, family tradition. like people are not able anymore to stick it out with each other. It destroys bodily health, like Srila Prabhupada was saying, the more, especially men indulge in illicit sex, the more they will suffer in old age. It destroys any little bit of dignity in a woman. Like you can see when you go out in Swanson Street how like depleted the women are. It's like there's just nothing there. And Dhimani Goswami was saying how you can actually observe it. Men look totally spaced out and women look angry. Like you can just go out and study their faces. Especially like after party time, like you know, Dhimani Goswami was one time saying, I think he was going somewhere like maybe at 5 o'clock in the morning, he saw everyone coming back from their, you know, party night on Saturday or something like that. And he was saying that men just lose their brain and women just, they get so frustrated because they're putting everything out to get what they want and they're left with nothing. So in so many different ways we can see that violating the laws of God, we only get in trouble because laws are there to follow. And even in the material sense, I've been having a lot of fines. Like, for example, I crossed the red traffic light on my bike and I paid $227 and I did it twice. So it's quite painful, you know? And then they caught me with my phone and I had another 3 demerit points and stuff. So it goes really quickly. You just do one little thing and you get a big result from it. So, you know, you better follow what you're told to, because you just keep yourself out of trouble. In Germany, actually, the rules are different. In 22 years, I did not get a fine. So, yeah, and you can, like, one time I was going to pay my fine, and it was incredible. I've hardly ever seen a row of people in such a bad mood. Like, it was incredible. That was like 20 people, like they were actually queuing to pay. They were queuing to pay for like rubbish, like, you know, 200, 300, 400, 500, whatever dollars they had to pay, losing even their license. Like Vara's father was telling me, they have a red light camera in Adelaide, and you would not believe how much money this camera makes in 1 year. It's $10 million for one camera. $10 million. How much does a camera cost to put up? And now, they put one on top of it. It's not just a red traffic light camera. It also takes your speed. So if you see that the traffic light goes red and you quickly go on the accelerator and speed up to catch the traffic light and you cross when it's red, they take a photo from you also with the speed. So maybe next year they have $20 million or something like that true. But that's incredible, you know. So you can see these people, they break the law. And it really, really hurts, you know. Like you stand there and you pay like $300 for such a stupid thing and you get really angry and all you get to know is like, oh, well, you shouldn't have broken the law. That's what you get to know. So this is what we do when we break the law. What to speak of God's law? And, you know, like this whole red traffic light camera stuff, this is just, you know, this is plunder. They are plunderers. But Krishna puts up his laws for very good reasons, you know, because he sees we are suffering, so he helps us. And we get a slap in the face that we finally learn our lesson and don't run after that which makes us miserable. So, what is the cause for committing sinful activities which make, this is from the purport, committing sinful activities which makes one reap all types of misfortune. So what is the cause for it? So in the previous verse, Lord Krishna explained that the auspicious results of fixing the mind in him, and now the opposite is explained. Rajas Valam indicates that one's passion grows so strong that one commits sinful activities and reaps all types of misfortune. So when we contemplate when we contemplate objects of the senses and running madly after them. There's a good example in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I was thinking about the example of Ajamil. Ajamil let his mind go astray. He was quite well fixed in the mode of goodness. He was serving his spiritual master so nicely. You know, very humble brahmachari, really, you know, amazing service attitude. He went to get some wood from the forest. And then he saw the prostitute and the, you know, this drunkard. And he allowed his mind to go off. And this is a choice we usually have. Now, especially as devotees, we kind of fixed up. You know, we're not anymore totally wild into, you know, what our senses can leash on. So, at this point we are now, we can decide where we're going to let our mind go off. I'm sure everyone has, like, every day we basically have examples like that, you know. You might just go to the street and you just kind of, you pass a billboard and you, like, go, like, you know, or you can look, or you decide against looking. It's your choice. And it's where your mind is at. So Ajamil, he let his mind go off and he started contemplating. You know, he started contemplating the prostitute. And he got so attracted to sex life that he left his guru, he left his young, beautiful wife, and he even left his parents, which were old and needed his help. So he just left it all and just, you know, took this prostitute at home. He was stealing. He was even murdering for this prostitute, and he got one child after another on him. So you can really clearly see, like, you know, how he was identifying with the material body, and he was thinking about his own sense pleasure, and he started acting on it. He was running after the sense objects. He was strongly influenced by the mode of passion, and the result of his activities were, you know, very sinful. So this is amazing how this verse so clearly outlines the dynamic of one whose consciousness is fixed on the material body. And the dangers also, how we can so quickly let ourselves get degraded. You can, and for example, if you're in Swanston Street, which I'm usually quite a bit, you can see how people are running after sense gratification. They're literally running after sense gratification. You see them during lunch. They just, like, they almost run over you. It's like, it's basically mad. They're just running down the street. They're stuffing their faces, all kind of sinful food. They're just going shopping quickly, and after the job, after work, you know, they're just rushing home. They just want to sit on the front of the, you know, TV and veg out, or, you know, have whatever other sense gratification they want to have. You know, like in the weekend, everyone is totally dressed up, and they're just going, basically, they're going on the hunt. You know, people going out on the weekend, they basically go on the hunt, and, you know, they even have their costumes. You know, that's a special hunting uniform they're going out with, you know. The girls have their little tops and their shoes, and, like, you know, afterward you can see they even take their shoes off. They can't walk anymore on them, you know. And, like, the men are, you know, all dressed up. They're ready for the hunt. And so it's really clearly affected by the mode of passion, and then they just do sinful activities with it. And the whole result of it, because we cannot satisfy material desires, the result of it will just be constant disappointment, frustration, and anger. And because we've tried to satisfy our material needs by sinful activities, our future life will be very unfortunate. This is an example from the Shastras. I don't know where exactly it's from this Brahmana. He's very, very hungry, and he goes begging from house to house, and he ends up in front of this house of this Muslim, and this Muslim says, "Oh yeah, yeah, I have something for you to eat." And he comes in and he serves him a meal, and he says, "But that is meat, I cannot eat meat." And he says, "Well, that's all I have. Tough luck." And then the Brahmana is so hungry, and he's like, "Oh, I really need to eat something, I'm starving." And then he eats it, and then he finishes his meal, And he's still hungry. But he lost his Brahmanical culture, he engaged in sinful activities. So this is what we're doing. So we are like chasing something which is not there, and on the way we degrading ourselves. Has anybody ever been to a desert? You've been to a desert in Australia? Okay, have you seen a mirage there? Nothing serious. It's probably more common in India. A mirage is like a reflection of what is actually there, isn't it? Alright, well, let's talk about an Indian mirage because they're probably more promising with better road. So you're in a desert and you see a mirage and it looks very, very real. And it's like in the material world, you know, we seeing something our senses desire and it looks so real, it looks so promising, it looks like, oh, if I would just have that, that will fulfill all my desires. Just as if you're in a desert and you see, you're very thirsty and you see this oasis and you think, oh, if I would just have that water, I would be so happy. So what we do is we chase it down. As we run towards the mirage in the material world, we run after that which should please our senses and give us satisfaction. But the satisfaction is never going to be there. Just like the mirage will just disappear in front of our eyes and then we will see something else and we will run there. And the way we just exhaust ourselves and we get more and more miserable and more desperate. So, in that way, if we are not situated in knowledge and detachment and fix our consciousness on the Supreme Lord, we will just degrade ourselves and have a constant unhappiness and dissatisfaction. Because there's no happiness in the mode of passion or ignorance. And one other problem with that is that people, if they don't get satisfaction in materialistic life, they try harder and harder. Has anybody seen that? There are people like they try something and they just try more and more and more and they compromise more and more on their principles. I can even say that for myself, you know, just going clubbing and you just some or other you're so frustrated that you don't get any kind of pleasure, happiness, you just go harder on anything, you know, you go harder on drugs and whatever you have, you just kind of try some or other, you know, to attain that satisfaction. And instead of thinking maybe, you know, that's not quite the right direction I'm going, you know, you just think I just need a bit more of it. And this is basically, like there's a saying that, you know, a fool tries the same thing over and over again and expects a different result. So when we try harder and we become more and more sinful, actually, it's an interesting passage in the Bhagavad Gita about the demoniac nature, and it's explained how people of demonic nature, they do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. So the sinful activities that cloud our consciousness very much, and we're not actually able anymore to perceive what is right and wrong. Yeah, following such conclusions, the demoniac who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence engage in unbeneficial, horrible work meant to destroy the world. Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac thus illusioned are always sworn to unclean work attracted by the impermanent. They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of their life, anxiety is immeasurable, bound by a network of hundreds and thousands of desires, and absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. So, you can see if we think that this material world is made for our sense enjoyment, why having any principles? You know, why not just take anything for a sense gratification? If sense gratification is the goal of life, you know, there's no space for morals and ethics. You know, if we like eating flesh, why not just eat it all day long? Why not? You know, if we think that, you know, illicit sex is the prime happiness of life and we're meant to enjoy it, then why not, you know, kill whatever comes out of that connection, yeah? So you can see if our material, if our consciousness is materialistic, and we think that this is all which we'll get in this world, we'll drop any principles we have. And we become, yeah, more and more degraded. And Dimaita Swami is always saying, like, you know, if everything is matter, what does it matter? And if everything is matter, then, you know, who would cry for some matter? Why not just use it for our purposes? And that's all right then. So you have to carefully watch that and try to fix our consciousness in that state of knowledge and detachment where we see things as they are and not just try to use our environment for our purposes, for our sense gratification, but see it as, you know, part and parcels of Krishna and see this material world instead of for our exploitation, for our service. So I'll stop here. Is there any comments or questions anybody has to make? Nobody? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki. Shri Prabhupada ki.